You're so busy over there. You're still writing out goals?
Right?
Goal man.
I have a few hours left.
We're recording this on New Year's Eve, and by New Year's Eve every year, you come up with 100 goals.
That's right. 100 goals, and it's been really fun over the years, that's for sure.
How many years?
It's been 25. This is my 25th year.
Holy cow, that's a lot of goals.
That's a lot of goals, 2,500.
And you always write them down?
Yes.
Okay. So on this time to ask, I want to know, I am dying to know how this whole thing started.
Sure.
What the key is to coming up with all these goals.
Right.
But I only have one goal for you today.
Yes.
I need you to not swear.
Oh, perfect.
Because I do not have time to put the bleeps in.
That's perfect. Because I, my intention and my number one goal was that, is not to swear. And I'm known to just swear at times, so I'm not going to swear. That's it.
All right, we're going to try. We have one
that's
goal.
That's it. Measurable, attainable, and specific. That's what we need to do. That's it.
Tim Collum is our guest on Dying to Ask.
Have you ever wondered, how did they do that? I'm talking about the art of the follow-through. I'm Deirdre Fitzpatrick, and Dying to Ask is the podcast that gets me off a TV news set and into candid conversations with authors, entrepreneurs, and influencers I have been dying to talk to. So brace yourself. This is a verbal gut check about what it takes to go from idea to reality. And who knows, maybe along the way, you'll get some answers to questions you've been dying to ask.
Tim, thanks for coming back on the podcast.
Absolutely. I love it.
I've been watching you on social media for years, and we've had you on in the past talk about your love of art and about your love of marketing and how you've been able to merge these two parts of your life. But one of the things that I've noticed you doing on social media at the end of the year for the last couple of years is you have this practice that you do.
Right.
You write down 100 goals for the next year.
Right. I think... Yeah, I do. And at this point, it's almost a superstition, because if I don't do it, then I'm just really scared. And so I was forced to do this when I was 18 years old. And I had this teacher, and his name is Dr. Hal Urban, and he was at Woodside High School. And he was a history teacher, and he taught us two things, really, I know it didn't go off the curriculum. He wasn't one of those guys that really was like, we're going to learn this, we're going to learn that. He went off of two things, and he said, we're going to do current events, and we're going to do goals. And
what do you think his mission was in that?
I think he wanted to change kids' lives, and I think that he really wanted to make an impact. And he saw that there was the history, and there were certain things, but he really focused as a high school senior. He had us do current events and the goal setting, you know. And at that time, I really had no clue what I was doing. And I have my original goals, and I brought them here. And really what it is, it's been a roadmap for me. If I die, and we'll just get right to it, then you pick up all of these goals. You can see where I've grown and what I've wanted to do and what I've wanted to try to accomplish and what I've actually done based on what I've written down and just little check marks. And really, it keeps me accountable. So that's been one of those things. And now it's become really fun.
Yeah.
And I kept doing it through college. And then,
so do you remember when he brought this whole idea?
Right.
What were you, 17, 18?
Yeah, I was 18 years old.
I remember being 18.
Right.
And I remember I would have thought, are you for real?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, are you crazy?
100 things, I just want to get out of high school.
Exactly. That was my first thing. And it was also, a lot of the goals were materialistic. It's what I wanted to own. But I wasn't thinking, let's write 100 goals. And then for what reason? You know, that was the main thing.
So, okay, pull them out. Let's see what you
So what I did is I wrote down, you know, my education. There was different categories. And I think that's the key.
And why did he say you need to do 100? Because that's a lot.
He really wanted to focus on writing down as many. And I don't know if it was him, like, having a specific number, but he said you should have anywhere from maybe 5 to 10 goals at a specific category. And so the categories at the time, just to go over them, were education, career, what was my personal improvement, fun and adventure, so that type of thing, travel, and then income, what I will own, and my athletic goals. And then I put one that was sports related, whatever that meant. And then there's basically what I wanted to learn, and then my top 10 most important goals. So there's really a bunch of categories, but specifically, the most important part about writing a goal is it has to be measurable, attainable, and specific. So you can't say, or you can, but it really wouldn't be the best, is if you said, I just want to be skinny this year. So a better goal be, by March 1st, I'm going to be down at this weight, and here's how I'm going to do it. And those are the ways that I learned how to write goals.
Did he teach you how to do
that?
He did.
The
so
three
measurable,
attainable, and specific.
I love that.
So because you could write a goal and saying, I'm going to win the lottery. So that's measurable and specific, but
I'm
I don't know if it's
Irish.
Attainable. Yeah, exactly. So, or you can write something that is something that maybe, if I've never run a marathon and I just said, I'm just going to run a marathon and go out and, you know, do one with no training or anything like that, then that's not really attainable either. So you have to make sure that you're writing your goals to make the end result.
Okay.
Success.
Let's go back in time.
Sure.
To 17-year-old Tim.
Yeah, yeah.
What was
absolutely
on there?
So one was to become a lawyer or a psychologist. My uncle was a lawyer. I had that. I had go see a great white from a boat was one. And then one of my bigger ones that I had was it was so funny because I always wanted, he was always talking about family, and I wanted to spend at least 20 hours a week with my family. That was a funny one. And now I'm like, well, I don't know about that. Like my mom would drive me nuts. So there's those. And then I think the places that I wanted to travel, I was really big into the JFK assassination at some point. I wanted to see and travel to Texas and then all these different spots. Ireland is where, you know, my heritage is from. And then a lot of it too is I was really big into the 49ers. This is so to tell that I'm not a fair weather fan. And it really wanted to like be around, you know, the Niner organization. And I actually got a chance to meet Jerry Rice and all these different 49ers. So a lot of that is related. And then what I'll own is a pool table, a saltwater fish tank, all of those fun things. And then, you know, I think that the one thing, like, you know, what you wanted to learn was the Spanish language. I wanted to learn more about World War II. And these are all things that, like, at an 18-year-old level of what I wanted to do. And then my big one was, you know, earn $100,000 a year, which was really a kind of an unattainable goal or goal at that time where it was a big number back in, you know, 25 years ago. And then number eight on my last part, one of the goals of the 10 most important goals was write at least 10 goals a year. And that was my thing where it's I've stuck with that the whole time.
So this is what I'm so amazed by. Most of us when we're 17 might start something, but we never continue it.
Like sure.
Maybe we had a diary for a while,
right.
A journal. But like,
right.
Like you get distracted. Like
right.
Life happens. But you actually kept doing this.
Yes, yes.
Why? What do you think it was? I mean it with all respect.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Like, but most, and again, here's stereotypical, but most guys probably wouldn't have stuck with
right,
this the whole
right.
time.
Right, right. I felt that I kept coming back to it, and I felt that each year that I did it, my life got better and better. And there were times that I had some real struggles, like with alcoholism and some things that were there. And you can see, even if you look at the 2008 goals when I stopped drinking, there's a whole laminated sheet. And on the back, there's all these weird scribblings. And really, when I did it, I was probably, you know, had a few. There's no question. But I think the thing is that each year, I can see where my mind was and what was going on and what was important. And that's the type of thing that has evolved. And I think my life has gotten better every single year that I've done this.
So that's fascinating. And on the previous podcast, go back and listen
sure.
to it. You talked about your substance abuse issues.
Right.
So in 2008, what was on your goal list that year?
You know, a lot of it was, you know, it was a lot of work related. And I think that I wanted to work and I wanted to hide and I wanted to own certain things and really looking at finances and monetarily. But I think like it was definitely not slow down as far as like a drink or stop drinking. There might be one on here that's there, but I'd have to look through it. But ultimately, a lot of it was the financial part, and what it wasn't is art. There wasn't a lot of art in my life, and that's what I do right now. And you could see that there's one that says one great painting a month, you know. And I think that was just obviously where art did not come into my life in 2008 as much as it is now. And
yeah.
I think that's where you learn. You go,
and
okay.
And for people who haven't maybe heard the previous podcast yet,
sure.
we should probably kind of explain kind of what it is you do. You
right.
have this like dual life where one half of it is you work in residential real estate.
Exactly.
And then the second half, you use the other side of your brain.
Right.
And you're an amazing artist. Yep. And your art has been displayed in a variety of places.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, that's. I think that I have two sides to my brain. And like you said, one's business and one's creative. And that's where I try to kind of run my life. And I don't run my life. And I don't know if it's... I'm doing the best I can. It's kind of one of those things right now where you're pulled in a lot of different directions. But every year I write these goals and I am able to see it's a roadmap of what I want to accomplish that year.
Yeah.
And that's the best part. It's just like having a home inspection where you go, okay, I'm going to have a home inspection to check out what is wrong with the house for the next 5 years. Well, my goals are very similar to that, where I write down, you know, the different categories and different things that I want. And I think that you want to look at what's monetary, what's, you know, physically, do you want to stay in shape, you know, spiritually, what do you want to do? And then as far as work and travel, what you want to own and your family and all these priorities. So I think for me, it's exhausting. And I get two types of people that they'll say, oh, that's really great, I want to try doing that. Or you have the people that say, I think you're ridiculous for doing that. That's a dumb idea. And I get it. I get it. I get both. I get both. And I think that for me, again, to write down these categories and look at it, and every year I measure them. And it's not only just a yearly thing. I look at these weekly. So that's, I don't look at all of them weekly, but I look at the top 10. And those are the most important to always review, because when you write something down on paper, for whatever reason, it comes to fruition for me. And there's some things that I do change. Like, I don't necessarily need to have a 1973 Datsun anymore, or I don't need to have a saltwater fish tank, or I don't need to have certain things that I used to want. And now it's more like, how can I help other people? And how can I donate? Or how can I give to a charitable cause? How can I do certain things to make people better? Yeah. That's what I'm looking
at.
You're
kind of watching as you go through the years.
Sure.
Your own personal evolution,
you mature, right?
You grow up.
Yeah, you grow up. We're getting older. That's it, right?
I love it. Okay,
yeah.
So I did a little research because...
Sure.
You are absolutely correct that when we write things down, it does tend to come to fruition.
Sure.
And there's a reason for that.
Okay.
So there's this professor, Dr. Gail Matthews from Dominican University in California. And Dr. Matthews actually studied why is it when you write goals down, you have a better chance of attaining them. So Dr. Matthews studied 270 people.
Okay.
Discovered you are 42% more likely to achieve goals if you write them down.
Okay.
So that's almost 50%
pretty good.
Better.
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's really, really good.
Sure.
And then if you talk about resolutions or goals, 60% of people abandon goals or resolutions within 6 months.
Yep.
25% of them abandon them within 7 days.
Okay.
So, which that doesn't
that
surprise
sense.
Me at all,
yeah,
right?
It does.
Yeah?
It does.
And then in neuroscience, they call it the generation effect.
Right.
And so the concept is we remember information that we generate ourselves. It's not about age.
Right.
It's if you created it, if you thought it, created it, then wrote it down, you create a picture in your mind.
Right.
Which then gets reinforced. So then because you wrote it down, you processed it again. And that's part of why
that totally
when you
makes
say
sense.
That it makes you accountable, it makes it happen.
Right.
That's why. So
yeah.
It's proven that
right.
When you write this stuff down, you have a better chance of doing it.
Yeah. And that makes sense. And I think that I see that in my life. And that's really good information where you... It's nice to hear that really smart doctors say the same thing. But I wish that I had the wherewithal to go, okay, it was social media where I was and what I did. And I think now there's like so many like people that are trying to, there's obviously so many different media outlets and there's different like, you know, motivational speaking and all these different things. But I think that for me, it was just a way and a very simple way to kind of go, where do I want to go in my life and what do I want? And then I write it down and really look at it. And then it's how do you attain it? And those are the steps that you go through. And I think, you know, for my real estate team, we've all kind of had different versions of what we want to do and we hit our numbers and we do all these things. And then, you know, we take a step back after you do hit your goals and then you go, okay, let's rewrite them or let's make something where, you know, we sold, you know, let's just say a ton of houses a year ago or a year and a half ago. And then, but in that process, we learned that relationships were not as, you know, our personal client relationships, we didn't have enough time to spend with our clients. So this last year, we're like, we need to focus a little bit more and have a little bit of balance. So I think for us, goals are really important, and it's good when you do accomplish them, but then you go, okay, how'd that feel when you accomplish it? And I always look, and I know you're a huge runner, but I look at these marathon runners and ultra marathon runners, and you know, they have a plan. They don't just wake up that day and say, I'm running a marathon. They go, okay, I got to train, I got to eat right, I got to do these things. And that's what happens with goals. It's the same type of thing. But we're seeing it more and more now because, again, in social media and when you hear things, everyone's trying to tell you what to do and do this and do that. And I think for me, it's been a natural process. And I have proven written, like, you know, all of my goals and years and things that I look at, I'm going, how ridiculous was I? But you grow up and you start to learn. And I think that's the best part about it.
You don't go into the year with the expectation of, like, I'm doing all 100 of these
things.
Yeah,
I've never completed all of them. There's no way.
Like, gosh, I would just set myself up for disappointment.
Right.
There's no way. But that's not the point.
Right, not the point at all. Or could you do the other side? Could you sandbag it and say, listen, I'm going to only be able, you know, you write goals that are very achievable, very attainable. You hit them all, and then you feel really good. And I guess that's great. But a part of success and growth is failure. And I actually want to fail. So for me, I'm not writing these ones that are so unattainable, but there's numbers that I know are totally out of my comfort zone when it comes to real estate sales or helping people. And then with art, it's the same thing. But there are some goals that I would have never written down that are kind of like beyond my wildest dreams. And now I'm going, how did this all happen? And you know, I, again, like even today where I opened a gallery at the Sacramento International Airport, and I thought back to myself, you know, I started just painting in this little dark garage, and it turned into this, you know, thing where I do it nightly and kept going and going. And then now I'm really almost nervous. It's like you see the stage that you start to get on with certain things, and you go, how did this all happen? And I think, you know, I link back to what I do each year and writing things down and setting these intentions and game plans, you know.
So last year, can you remember back to some of the things that were on the list? I mean, like, did you have a big,
absolutely. I have them. I'm ready to go. Yeah. No, I am.
Because I'm curious to know, like, what came to fruition.
So my number one goal every year is stay sober.
Number one.
That's number one. And without that, everything else follows, you know. I think the main thing is that, and then I had another one was travel 6 times on an airplane. And so I don't travel enough and take enough time for me. And so for me, that was a goal that I achieved. And I went to 6 different places on an airplane. So that made a difference. There was one where, it, you know, have a gallery that made a certain amount of art with it, or made a certain amount of sales with the amount of artists. And that was one that I really looked at. And then I did, one of my goals was release an awesome art coffee table book in 2019. And that's what I did. I released this book that I had to compile all the pictures and all of these things, and I knew that was going to be such a chore. So the end of the goal, or that goal, there was so much work that went behind that, you know, with the publishers and all these different things. And so for me, some of that was very interesting. And then, you know, I said limit sugar and carbs to only special occasions and holidays. That did not happen. I ate whenever I wanted to. And that one was a harder one for sure. Another one that I didn't do is I said learn to play the guitar. I would have loved to learn to play the guitar. So that will transfer over to the next year.
Do you transfer things?
Yeah, I do. I do. And I think you eliminate some because some are not as relevant anymore in your life. Or you change. There's people that just go, okay, I've either done this or it's just not a priority. And there's been some that, you know, have sat on that list for a long time. And my number one, you know, obviously staying sober over the last 11 years, that's a big one right now. And I think it'll continue to be so. And, you know, I think the one thing I did that was totally blew up and was out of my control is that number 85 was a fundraiser selling prints once a year. And that fundraiser was the California print that was very unintentional. My social media, like, person that says, hey, why don't you just try doing something like this? And she suggested it, and that's where the Paradise California thing came about.
Yeah, and this was, for people who aren't familiar with it, this was a print that was sold online, and people would donate a certain amount. You sent them out a print, a beautiful print of the state of California that you had done, and the money went to Paradise Fire.
It did. It went to the...
You raised how much?
$150,000.
Holy cow.
But it doesn't, on my goals, say, I need to make this much money or do anything. It was just basically doing a print for charity. And my a good friend that does social media for me and helps me with it, and like not for me, but with me, I should say. She called and she goes, why don't we do one of those, that, like what you said in your goals in the print? And I'm like, okay. And yeah. It just turned into that.
So that's interesting, because putting your goals out
right.
there is another part of this, which Absolutely. Some people might not be comfortable
no.
with.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't have, you know, the,
yeah.
the friend network
You're
to share
vulnerable.
With. But when you put that out there,
it's
that adds
another
layer
level
of accountability.
Absolutely.
And criticism.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there's probably 10 or 15 on there that are uncomfortable and, like, you know, are really where you're raw. And you, this is where you can show your spouse or your, you know, your best friend or anyone that is a significant other, and you go, this is what my goal is. And it might involve them, you know, and there's certain things. Like, I told my mom I needed to call her once a week. I really did. I really had a struggle with that. And I told my girlfriend too, and I let her know. And so each week we would call my mom this year, and we did a great job
yeah.
of it. But I let her know what my goal was, because I felt as a son, I was your typical guy that was just so involved with his life, but didn't call his mom enough. Mm-hmm. And so that was one of these goals, that I needed to call my mom once a week. And
that would make you feel good,
and it
too.
Made me feel good.
Yeah,
and it was a great goal. But then there's some on there that, you know, they might be private, and that's okay. Like, you need to figure out what you want. And, you know, there's definitely some things that, you know, change. And I do think that's where the fun is in the whole process.
So walk us through the process. When do you
sure.
start writing down the
oh,
goals?
Man.
If
okay.
somebody wants, if some, okay,
yeah.
take it on.
Yeah.
You don't have to do it before the new year. You can do this the day you listen to this.
Absolutely.
How do you do it?
Yeah. So for me, I usually try and get it done by January 1st, but I have done them on the 1st through the 7th before too. Really the early part of the year, but I usually typically start on Christmas night. Christmas is over. It's the madness has really kind of just been passed, and I start writing down the things I want to accomplish. And
do you write down different topics each year?
I do. I do really kind of stick with the same categories, and I try to keep those, you know, somewhat similar. They will be some that I change, and, you know, other things that I switch around, but I do categories. I start in December 26th, the night of Christmas, when everything's kind of died down, when everyone's kind of winding down. I stay up fairly late and I paint, but on that night and then throughout the week, I start writing down my goals.
So what are your categories?
So the categories that I use right now, and like I said, I've added some and not had some over the years, but like for 2020, number one is what I'll learn this year. Two is financial. So that's what I want to save, what I want to accomplish financially. And then number three is physical diet and exercise. And that's really, you know, what's my workouts look like? Am I working out at, you know, different places, whether it's Fitness Rangers, Team Ride, whatever it is in Sacramento.
So this is really your health.
It's
that's
health. Yeah. Okay. Number four is family and friends, my relationships, you know, am I spending time with, you know, my girlfriend with date night? Am I doing the right things with family? Am I calling my mom once a week? Right. Those are the things you look at. And then number five is really work, art, or real estate, anything that has to do with me working. Number six is what am I going to do this year out of my comfort zone? You know, that's a big one. And number seven, where I will travel. Number eight is spiritual. Number nine is charity, community, and contributions. So that's like, what am I going to give back? And then number 10, which is an important part, is what are the top 10 goals that you have? And do you review them weekly? Because that's the most important part, is that you have to keep these goals in front of you. You can't just write 100 or write 20 or write one and shove it in a drawer and never look back at it and open it, you know, the next year. So those
how
are
frequently
the
do you
things.
Think we should be looking back at this list?
I think the list itself should be looked at, you know, monthly, the whole goals, you know, 100 of the goals once a month, and then weekly is your top 10.
Okay.
And it really only takes a few minutes. It's part of the what you're looking at. And there's things where you're going, oh man, I'm not on track, or I haven't even thought of that. And again, they're not that bad once you write down 10 things. And if you say, hey, these are the 10 things that I'm trying to accomplish and really go after. And again, if I accomplish, you know, 60 to 70 of the 100 goals, that's a great year.
That's huge.
It's a great year.
That's
like
huge.
It's better than what I wouldn't do. You know?
So you have your topics, your
right.
categories, and then throughout the course of about a week, you just start adding to it.
I start adding to them, and I start having these little check boxes, or I do it online paper, or I do it pretty much every kind of place that you can look at. And then I start checking them off and doing what I do throughout the year. And then you can start seeing your results and start going, okay, what do I want to do in general? So there's a lot of things that I'm looking at them as we speak, and I'm like, okay, there's a few that I need to get back to. So, but it's really a good, and it's therapeutic for me in a way. In that way, I don't have that anxiety with, I have a ton of things to do, and people always talk to me, and they're like, your time management skills must be really good, and there's all these things, and I think it always starts with what I want to accomplish at first.
Yeah. Writing it down. Have you ever thought about just scrapping it?
I've never taken a year off since 1995. So, and for me, I think it would be very hard to, just because you're so programmed to do it. And it's not, again, I don't see it as work. You see it as fun. And I think that everything, each year my life gets better, even when there's really tough times, even when the worst times of my life, I've still had these goals. And then you look back and you go, okay, those goals were really interesting. But you look back, it's just like a journal, it's a diary of some sort, or, you know, something that say accountability. And I think in some form, all of what we're doing right now, like social media, we'll look back and we'll go, gosh, we were really into this. And, you know, 20 years from now, that will change, you know, who knows.
Are they all things that you want to do, or some of them things you don't want to do anymore?
There's a lot of things that I don't want to do, and they can be very specific. Like, I don't want to knock on doors each day for real estate, and or I don't want to do certain things, and I wouldn't do it every single day. Mm-hmm. But there's certain things that you don't want to do in life, and I think that, but you have to remember, those are the things that got you to where you are.
Right.
And work is not always associated with pain and those things, but I think that for me, doing things that are out of your comfort zone and trying new things are where you grow the most.
Do you know who Rachel Hollis is?
I don't.
So Rachel Hollis is the number one female motivational speaker. She's Tony Robbins.
Right.
If Tony Robbins had like hair extensions,
and
like really cute clothes,
yes, then that's
four
her.
Kids in a minivan,
right,
that's
right,
her.
Right,
wildly successful. Like, okay, number. She wrote the Girl Wash Your Face.
Oh yeah,
that was like one in the bestseller list forever. She has this practice in a journal that she sells, and the practice that she did in a notebook every year for 10 years before she became, you know, an overnight success. I did the air quotes there.
Yeah,
was she would write down beginning of the day 5 things she was grateful for.
Right.
It could be something as simple as the coffee machine worked. You know, I think of that every morning.
Yeah.
But then she wrote down 10 dreams or goals as if they had already happened.
So
phrasing, which is interesting if you get back to the concept of writing things down, is, I am a New York Times bestselling author.
Right.
I am always flying first class. You know, they could be small things. But, but her premise is, if somebody picked up that journal and opened it up, they should look at the things and think, well, who do you think you are to dream like that?
Right.
You know, like, make them big goals.
Right.
Make them audacious.
Right. Push yourself.
Which I love that concept.
Yeah. And I think that's what's key. You have to do that and get out of your comfort zone. One of the best goals, and I was just thinking about this, is that Dr. Urban said, you need to affirm 2 people daily. And I do that a lot. But really random people, strangers, whatever it is, you could be as simple as, I like your glasses, I like this. Yeah. And what happens is that he was so smart, because it's the intention of affirming somebody and giving someone positive reinforcement. And what happens is that opens a conversation. And then over time, you affirm all of these people, and people go, you know what? These people are nice people, or you're noticing things. So many times we get wrapped up in our own life, but he has a whole thing about how to affirm that people are doing great things. And I think that's very important too. And that's
and
why
that becomes your own habit.
That's another habit, right? Yeah. It's just like thank you letters. And it's just like all of these things that we do, and it's getting back to basics. But I think, like, you know, you have to push yourself, and they could be very simple goals, and they could be goals that are very complex. And then it's weird because you take off on one step and do something, and then what happens is there's so many other things that come from going on that journey, and that's the best part about writing goals. So,
okay, where is Dr. Urban? What happened to him?
I want to say, like, Dr. Urban, and I hope at some point he listens to this, and maybe he'll be like, I taught you none of this, and I taught you, you know, you're doing it all wrong. But he was a very influential man in my life, and he wrote several books, and if you Google him or go on Amazon, there's definitely a lot of books. I think he was at Woodside School, lived in Woodside, was a huge runner, had stories that he would just never take a day off, that type of person.
Is he still alive?
And I think he's still alive. I don't know. So
what an impactful
that's something.
Guy
yeah, no, life. Right? You come across people, and there's people that absolutely change your life. And that's what he was. He was a teacher, and teachers do that. And what happens is that he went off curriculum, and maybe he was right within it, and he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. But at the same time, that's what I feel. And I felt like I got so much out of this exercise, and it's really shaped my life. And I know that other people have done it over the last 5 years from my posts on social media, and they have changed their lives, and they say that, and they're like, thank you so much. And then they focus it back on me. One of my UFC friends, he said, you need to get back in the gym is more than what you're doing. And that's another part of balance.
That's all right. Yeah. You know what? He's holding you accountable.
So, and that's
right,
the good
remind
part.
Us the three things about goals.
You need to be measurable, attainable, and specific. So those three things are very important in writing one goal. So that's really where it starts. And then don't get focused on 100. Start with 10 or 15. But once you start doing the categories, then people start writing. And I dare you not to write more than 20 or 30 because people will start writing a lot more.
I had my kids do it.
Yeah, oh, really?
I gave them 10.
Yeah.
And they were little things. One was learning the guitar.
Right.
Fortunately, they did not mention a saltwater tank.
Right. Good. Right. Smart.
Yeah, but it was interesting. One of them was learning the months of the year.
Yeah.
How do you not know the months of the year?
Right.
I thought that was funny. That was meaningful.
You learn
to them.
About people. If I left you with it's these really cool. goals, you would know a lot more about me. And I think that's what you learn about kids and that type of thing. But I've kept the same sheets year to year. And that's the one thing that's come with me through college, through high school, through all the different places I've lived and really, you know, moved around to is that my goal list, if there's a fire, I'm bringing this with me first. That's it.
I love it. How do we keep up with you these days?
You can go to Instagram and it's at Tim Collum, TimCollom, and Facebook is the same. And those are my two media outlets.
What's the coolest thing you got going art-wise these days?
Right now, today, was the opening of the Sacramento International Airport Gallery. So the gallery at SMF, I just opened that, and that is just been really cool. And then we went up there today, and it's just mind-blowing. So, you know, that's something that was... You know, that's the one thing got me out of my comfort zone, and that's it.
You're out of the comfort
zone. I'm out of it right now, for sure.
And you're in the arrivals.
Yeah, I'm in arrivals and departures, and you can find me, walk by there. I won't physically be there, but my art will be there.
And where do we find the book?
The book is also at the airport, and it's online, so it's at timcollumgallery.com, but it's also at the airport. It's also at West Elm, too.
Awesome. So one of my goals last year was to grow to 50,000 downloads with this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, we're about to hit it.
So, nice.
Yeah,
big
I'm
party.
We're going to
do
was
a huge
big goal,
party.
Crossing that one off the list. And we're doing that, of course, because you guys have been so good about leaving those ratings and reviews and sharing the show. So if you'd like to leave a rating or review, we'd love you to do it. You can do it on Apple Podcasts, just wherever you're listening to it right now. It's weird. It's like... Probably like real estate, word of mouth.
Right.
Is a thing that grows.
Yes. People talking and saying how great it is. And it is such a good thing.
Say that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You can always find me on Instagram at RunReadSip. And we'll see you next time. I'm dying to ask. I think you need to get that saltwater current.
Yeah. I might.
Someday.
Head out right. Pretty. Yeah.
Cross that off the list.
I might get it for your kids.
You better not.